I did feel like that word, Larry brought a word of just the Lord wanting to come and restore faith. And yeah, if you have lost faith, I mean, we all go through different faith journeys, don't we? You know, and so, but still at the core, God is the one that's trustworthy and He's the one that's faithful. And so let's allow Him to come and restore faith and trust in our hearts. You know, we don't want to be a people that starts off by having faith, and then as we go about life, that we lose faith along the way. One of the elders in Josh Jen recently said, "We are like leaking vessels, aren't we? You know, we get full, and then we kind of just leak all the time. And so we need to constantly be filled with the Spirit, constantly be filled with faith as we go on this journey. And so it's not a decision that you just make today and then the rest of your life you are walking by faith. It's often a daily thing, step by step, trusting Him as we move forward. Amen? So this morning, that's not what I want to preach on, but I trust as I preach that faith will be restored, actually. And I want to start off by a story of me, actually, and the way I grew up, and it's quite a brief summary of how I grew up, and maybe some of you might relate, or maybe some of you might not relate, but I grew up during school actually with such a need for acceptance. And what I mean with that is I actually lived two different lives, many different lives. So when I'm with this group of people, I've got this type of personality, this type of language, and then when I'm with this group of people, I've got a different type of way of living. And so that kind of happened for actually a number of years. And what I realized is it was all because I had such a deep need to belong. And if you would have said that to me back then, I was like, no, man, I'm secure in who I am. But actually, deep down, I know that I had such a desire to belong. And I think that's often the case with many, not just young people, but adults as well. We all have a desire to belong. And I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, He started to change that thing in me. I started realizing, well, as I read His word, that, man, I actually now belong to Christ. And can I be honest with you? It didn't change overnight when I just suddenly am so secure. I still had bad habits, still had things to work through, hurts, insecurities, all those things that I had to work through. But I realized that my identity is now rooted in Christ and not in the world anymore. And so this morning I want to preach on we are made to belong. We are made to belong. And can I say that each one of us have a longing to belong, whether you acknowledge it or not. If you acknowledge it, you're probably going to find that place of belonging much quicker. But if you disagree with me, no, man, I don't have to belong anywhere, you're probably going to struggle to belong somewhere. And our hearts this morning, and my heart this morning, is that we will find our place in Jesus. We will realize what is our place in Him and how does that look like. And many people approach it differently. That's why often, you know, when January comes, you know, everyone signs up at the gym, right? Who signed up at a gym in January this year? Be honest. Are you guys still gymming? Well done. And nothing wrong with you know, a gym membership or a squash club membership or whatever. But often we want to sign up for something because we want to belong there. We want to find our place of belonging. And I remember even gym, and I know it doesn't look like it, but I belonged at a gym to belong at the gym to feel like I'm part of something. You know what I mean? And that's often what happens with whatever, you know, going out partying or whatever, going out drinking with friends. It's all because, man, I want to belong somewhere. And often, if it's not from a place of belonging in Christ and you are seeking for belonging with people, you're actually going to end up in sin. And that's the danger with sin. It's such a lure that it actually wants to just draw you away from the things of God. And it's almost this carrot in front of your nose. No, man, you belong with this group. You belong with this. You belong with that. And it's this carrot in front of our nose that will end up actually not pleasing Jesus at all. But if we live our lives belonging to Christ, and from that place we live our lives, that would be pleasing unto Him. And you will find it, you know, even with the atheists, those who don't believe in God, that doesn't want nothing to do with Christians, they'll quickly find other atheists because they want to belong there. You know what I mean? And so all of us, just think about it. I know people who grew up just dabbling with drugs and all those things. It's all because of a desire to belong somewhere. And this morning I want to preach into that we as people need to make sure that we belong to Christ first. And there's a way that looks like, and I'm going to jump into that. So my first thing that I want to say, it's important to know who you belong to. I don't know everybody here this morning, but who do you belong to? And can I say that if you can determine who you belong to, that will shape the way you live. That will shape the way you live. And can I shock us quickly? You either belong to God or you belong to the devil. Whoa. Where are you going with this? I'm just reading scripture quickly. Let me read scripture quickly. In 1 John 3, verse 5 to 10. This should shock us, actually. And so John is writing, to the Christians, and he says, "But you know that he, Jesus, appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him, in Jesus, there is no sin." Verse 6, "No one who lives in him keeps on sinning." I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, I just didn't want to sin anymore. I still struggled with it every now and then. And I mean, even now, we need to make sure we are people that's without sin. But no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. So it doesn't mean you're never going to sin again. It means that the power of sin is broken in you, and you've got a desire to now be a righteous person in front of him, and not you don't want to keep on sinning. So no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Verse 7, Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he, Jesus, is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. What? Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. And this is a big one. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. That's quite a heavy scripture, isn't it? It's like you're either with God or you're not with God. And if you're not with God, it's not like you are just part of nothing. You're part of the work of the devil now. And so that's why it's important that as we surrender our lives to him, we become children of God because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And it's interesting to read the scripture verse 10. It says, anyone who does not do what is right is not God's children. And can I say that none of us have done right, actually? And that's the gospel. That we all fall short of the glory and the standard of Christ. We all fall short. None of us have done right. But because of what Jesus has done, it actually says that in Romans 3, 23, that I give it to you, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's quite a scary thought, isn't it? And that's the reason why we call it the good news, the gospel, because this is the bad news. Listen, we all fall short. We're all children of the devil. But because what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and because he has paid for our sins, and now that we are in Christ, he has forgiven us, and now we become children of God. And that is our position, isn't it? And so this morning, I don't know where you are with God. Are you his child or are you not? On which side of you are you on this morning? And hopefully if you're on the wrong side of things this morning, that you will make a decision today to accept him into your life. And in Romans 5 verse 8, it says this, that God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that beautiful that while we were still sinners, while we were still children of the devil, Christ died for us, man. You need to know that truth, that Christ died for you. That nothing in your own strength will gain this salvation that Christ gives. And this is really where it starts. And I want to share a bit more on what it means to belong to Christ. That this is where it starts. You need to give your life to the Lord. That's where it starts. If you grow up in a Christian culture, that doesn't mean that you belong to Christ. You as an individual need to make a decision and you need to take responsibility of your own relationship with the Father. And so I want to say that you cannot piggyback on the church. You cannot piggyback on the church. It's not a substitute for your relationship with Jesus. You need to take responsibility for your own relationship with Him. And if you don't have one, you surrender your life to Him. And then you become part of the church. But you cannot use the church as a piggyback to disguise a relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense? So it's essential that that's where we start to belong to Him, as we give our lives to Him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 reads this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Isn't this a beautiful scripture that now, firstly, as Christians, as people of God, we were bought with a price. Our lives are not our own anymore. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. Do you realize that? You don't belong to you anymore. You belong now to Christ. He has bought you with a price. And quite a high price, isn't it? What Jesus has done on the cross. It's quite a high price. So Jesus has bought you, which means He's our master. He's my master. I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone. He's my master. He's my king. My life is now His. I belong to Him. So whatever He wants, I do. Because it's not my life anymore. It's not, I belong to partially Jesus and partially Haya. That's often what we want to do, right? We want to not give up complete control of our lives because we're scared Jesus might lead us to a place we like porch, for example. I'm kidding. But who does, eh? Sometimes I think we miss out in God's will because we think we belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. We're His. So firstly, we belong to Him. And as we make sure our belonging is in Him, we need to realize that He doesn't call us to isolate. He doesn't call us to be isolated. He has created us to belong to a family. So firstly, we belong to Him, and then we belong to a family. We belong to a family, and I'm going to share one or two practical things on what it looks like. And the reason why I want to share this is often the fruit of knowing that you belong to Christ will play out in the way you live by belonging to others. And in Romans 12, verse 4 and 5, it reads this. Just as each of us is one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, again, as you belong in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So you belong to one another, yeah. As you are rooted in Christ, if you belong in Christ, you also belong to one another. Now, and Paul writes here that we are as a body. You know, as Christ is the head, Christ has a body. And we know that often Jesus refers to the church as His body, right? And a body has different members. And so you can't say, I'm a member of the body, but you're not connected to the body. You can't say, firstly, you need to be connected to the head, which is Christ. And then you need to be connected to the body. Otherwise, you're going to be a leg running on its own, which is weird. So if you belong to the head, you also belong to his body. And I think that's often where the difficulty comes in, right? Because the church is made up of people. And can I remind you that people are people? And people are often broken. You know, and so often there's hurt involved. Often the leadership hurts you, and the church hurts the leadership, and it's just often a mess. But it's not an excuse not to belong to his body. We are actually those that gives of ourselves, like we were singing this morning, and allow God to bring a wholeness and forgiveness and all those things so that we can be in unity as one body, belonging and connected to the head. So I want to mention four things quickly on what does it look like to belong to the body. I'll make an opportunity just as we end to make sure that you are belonging to Christ. But I want to be practical quickly on what does it look like to belong to his body. Are you guys still with me? So first thing that I believe is important is friendships. Friendships is essential when it comes to belonging to the body. You know, it's not a thing that we just come to on a Sunday, say, how's it? It's going well, thanks, and you, and then go off doing your own thing, and then there's a loneliness in our lives. And often that's something, especially in leadership, often it's something we have to really fight for and work at, is loneliness. You know, and maybe you've been part of church, maybe not this church, and you feel lonely. And it's not to blame the church. It's not to blame you. It's actually, hey, if there is a loneliness, maybe you need to invest into friendships in the church. And I think that's often where we are very cautious because, man, sometimes we are better friends of people outside of the church. And there's nothing wrong with having friendships outside of the church. We should be those who have friends. And when I say outside of the church, I'm not saying just Jen. I'm saying Christian friends, all right? Just to clarify. Sometimes people think, no, we're not allowed to date outside of Josh Jane. I'm like, what? Where did you hear that? No, man. We're in this world, and there's many other healthy churches, and we one church. And on that day when Jesus comes back, every church and every saint is going to have to stand before Christ to give an account for how they did things, all right? But I want to encourage us. It's important to have friends in church. It's vitally important. With the same, that's sharing the same heart, the same mind, having the same passion for his kingdom. Where often when you have friends in the world, it's difficult to have the same heart and the same mind and having the same passion for his kingdom. You know what I mean? And we should have friends outside, but we need to make sure that they're not the ones that we follow. We follow Christ, and we have friends in our circles where we can encourage one another, where we can have the same heart and same mind. Otherwise, you're going to be led astray. You know, so it's important that we don't live separate lives on a Sunday and then the rest of the week. Have you done that? That's part of my testimony, actually, as I was saying earlier. I had a couple of different, you know, type of lives, if I can call it that way. I had my Sunday life, and then I had a couple of other lives, like a cat with nine lives. Not exactly the same, but kind of very similar in many ways. But it's important that we have one life being devoted to him. And friendships often help us to do that. Because if we just have this Christian type of Sunday mentality life, you're not going to make friends in church. It's going to be very difficult for you. So invest in friendships, man. If there's times where you feel discouraged, keep pressing in. Trust the Lord. Lord, can you bring a friend over my path? It's something that I'm praying often. Just Lord, I pray for deep friendships, and invite people into your life. You know, don't wait for someone to befriend you. You need to press in. You need to invite and make people part of your lives. And I want to read the scripture. Just before you fall asleep. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Did I give that to you? Yeah. And I want to encourage us, do not be misled, okay? Bad company corrupts good character. A different translation says, bad friends corrupt good character. And so just be very cautious. Just be very cautious. I'm not saying you're not allowed to have friends outside of church. Please do. We need to get into the community. We need to get into the city, into our different areas of influence. But be careful. Do not be misled. If you think, no, I'm going to change them, I think you're already misled. It's only the Lord that can change them. It's only the Lord that can change them. But make sure your primary influence is not from the world. Because bad company at some point will corrupt your character. So make sure you've got friendships that's actually encouraging, pointing you towards Christ, building up your character. If you don't have that, pray. I'm going to pray afterwards as well. Let's trust God for someone, man. Okay, secondly, just practically on what it means to belong, I'm going to go through it through them quickly, is fellowship. You know, what they say, it's a few fellows on a ship. That's the fellowship. That's not what fellowship is. But fellowship is not just coming together around sports, you know, as friends, coming together around coffee, coming together around some interest. That's often where friendships take place. But fellowship is actually we're coming together outside of our interests, irrespective of just your way of living, and we come together around Christ. That is fellowship. So often community nights on Wednesday nights, that's fellowship, right? We're coming together and you look at those in your community or those around you and like, whoa, we are very different. You know, we don't share the same interests. That's okay. Because it's Jesus that unifies us. If we've got the interest of Jesus in our midst, we can have fellowship. And so it's important that we give ourselves to those times where we run together with a purpose, and that is for Jesus. And so start participating in the life of the church. You know, if there's an opportunity to serve somewhere, be part. If there's opportunity for kids or worship or wherever there's an opportunity, become part of what the church is doing. Outreaches, conferences, communities, whatever there is, you know. That's part of what fellowship is. And then belonging to a family is part of belonging to His body. And I said it recently, well, just now, in Psalm 68, verse 6, you don't have to put it up. It says, God sets the lonely into families. So God sets the lonely into families. And so often that lonely isn't just, I just feel lonely today. It's actually, if you're an unbeliever, if you're not a Christian, you don't belong to Christ. And so there's a loneliness, and God takes you and He puts you into family, where you belong to Christ and you belong to His body. And can I say, healthy families, many might have grown up in healthy families, some might not have grown up that way, but a healthy family has fathers, mothers, older brothers and sisters, younger brothers and sisters. And I hope you get the thread of where I'm going with this. If you're in a healthy family, there should be fathers and mothers spiritually involved in your life. There should be older brothers and sisters that you look up to that's encouraging you in your life. Maybe you are the older brother or sister. Then you have to have younger brothers and sisters that you lead. Hey, man, this is how we do things in this family. And you, this whole family pulling into the same direction, which is Christ. And if you don't have that in your life, it's time to become part of a proper family, spiritually. It's like, you see this brick on your left-hand side or wherever, on the right as well. If you look at one specific brick, you are allowed to look at it quickly. Can you see with me that there are bricks on top, there's bricks on the side, bricks beneath of that one brick that you're looking at? And in the same way, God is saying that we are living stones being built together for Christ to dwell in. That's what the Bible says. And it's a beautiful illustration of we need to have people over us, not in a controlling way, but we need to have leaders, fathers and mothers. But then we have bricks alongside of us, brothers, sisters, that's encouraging us. And then beneath us, not in a, I'm not saying it in a belittling way, but actually as new people come in, surrendering their lives to the Lord, you need to grab hold of them and say, hey man, this is how we follow Jesus. This is how we do obedience. This is how we do this or that. And we disciple one another. There's such a sense that God is, again, reminding us, man, we need to live a life in healthy family, making disciples. And so are you part of that? And I remember when we just had James, our boy, is almost 14 months, and we are still alive, praise God. Those of you who know us, you would know it wasn't an easy couple of first few months in our journey to be parents. And I remember when James had colic and whatever else, we didn't sleep much. And often people in church will just rock up with meals. And I wanted them to babysit, but I don't know why they didn't want to for those first couple of months. I mean, that would have been harsh. Shame. We won't do that on to you. But I remember the church, the family, just reaching out. Hey, man, what do you need? Can we help you? And it's not because we're the leaders. Everybody does that to one another. And I know it. And that's the family that we want. I mean, if someone is moving, we're there to help move. Amen, Elise. We're a family, man. I mean, you guys getting baptized last week in someone's bath. I mean, it's family. It's not just, we don't have a special bath. It would be amazing, you know, if we have something on the stage. But it's like, no, we just go to someone's house, fill the bath, let's baptize you. It's a family. It's a family. We were all squeezing there in the bath and we kind of just want to see what's happening. It's beautiful. Oh, man. Let's be part of his family. And part of being part of his family often means being vulnerable and ask for help. Maybe you said, yeah, I've tried that. Keep on pressing in. Keep on pressing in. Don't lose heart. We're not a perfect family, but we are aiming towards Jesus, who is perfect. And as we build around him, who is the head, surely we'll grow into the more of him. And then my last point, and I'm going to end with this, of what it means to belong to his body, is if we belong properly to him, we'll start to contribute. We'll start to contribute. In Matthew 6, verse 21, and just before I say this, I don't want to just focus on money right now, actually. I want to focus on something else. But this scripture is written in context of money. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then this is important to know, and I want to focus on something else. But it's important to know that where your treasure is, your heart will just follow. Where you contribute, your heart will follow. Have you realized that? Where you contribute, your heart will follow. And can I say, just make an observation, where your heart is, there your contribution will be. And it's important that we need to often lead our hearts, don't we? Because our hearts can be fraught, eh? Our hearts can be deceiving at times. It can be so, it's actually such a deceitful thing, our hearts. Just follow your heart. Well, let's see what happens where your contribution goes. And so often we as people, we need to lead our hearts by contributing towards the things of Christ. Because if we contribute to the things of Christ, where Jesus is, where his church is, our hearts will follow. Our hearts will follow. And I'm not speaking about money. I'm speaking about something else. It's our hearts. It's our time. It's our energy. It's our thoughts. Our way of life. And money is part of that, right? But actually, if you came to contribute by packing a chair, if you came to contribute to be part of whatever, the coffee team, part of community, part of worship, part of kids' church. If you come to contribute by serving one another, by loving someone, you'll quickly find that your heart will follow to the things of God. Someone recently said, unless you invest, you lose interest. Unless you invest, you lose interest. And again, this is not a finance teaching, but When we stop investing into the church, into relationships, into loving one another, into serving one another, we'll start to lose interest of what the church is all about. We'll start to lose interest of what the Lord is doing. Have you found that to be true? But man, I want my heart to be interested into the things of God. Interested on what the Lord is doing. You know, and God has given you something to contribute. Did you know that? As a Christian, the Bible speaks about you are a member of His body, and as each one brings its bit, whatever that bit is, that's your contribution. And as you bring your bit to the body, the whole body moves as one, and you contribute in the church moving forward. And so what are the gifts that God has given you? What are the things that's laid on your heart to contribute, to bring to the body? And can I say this, and I'll end with this, if you're not contributing to the body, you'll quickly become frustrated. You'll feel like, nah, this, what's the meaning of church? What's the meaning of, you know, belonging here? I can just do something else. But if you keep on contributing with your time, your treasures, your talents, and you know, time when it comes to loving one another, coffees, time to serve, time to be part of what the Lord is doing, your talents, your skills, your giftings, if you bring that, your finances even, you'll quickly see your heart will follow in the things of the Lord. And so let's pray where we are. Can we just bow our heads?